2 Samuel chapter 23. We're still finishing up this series on Save Not Soft. It's almost, we're coming down to a close. We're getting ready to jump into a book of the Bible. Do you want to know what book of the Bible we're doing next? Stick around. Next week, it's going to be revealed. It's going to be the big reveal. So, this week, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 23, and we find our way down to verse 20. Last week, I was actually going to speak this message, and man, I couldn't get past the verses before that. I kind of kept blowing past them because I was like, I already talked about a guy that killed 300 people with a spear, and I just didn't see a whole lot there until I started investigating and studying God's Word. And last week, man, that was that message last week must have been for the pastor, because it was good for me to see that Abishai, to see his life, and especially to see him just be who God called him to be, and maybe not even get all the accolades he thought he should. You know, that was just, to me, I thought that was phenomenal. This week we're in chapter 23 and verse 20. Verse 20 says this: "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of the valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow." Verse 21 says, "And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men." So Benaiah. Benaiah's our guy for the day. And you can see some of the things he did here. Probably the greatest, you know, of these would be he ends up at the end of verse 20 going down into a pit, and he slew a lion in the midst of a pit. And then it was a snowy day. It throws that detail in there. There's not a lot on that story except what we just read. It words it a little bit differently in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, that he slew two lion-like men. Then it just says it a little more clear. He went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. This is our guy. So take some notes on this and just grab a few things about this guy. You know, guys, one thing that we keep coming back to with all these men and women that we see, that they're like following God, but they're not soft. And that's a big problem, because people just assume you should be soft. Now, there's things in the Bible you should be. You should have meekness, you should have gentleness, and all those type of things. But the problem is, when there's a time to fight, this is where Christians sometimes fail. We become too timid, you know. And so we see that Benaiah, he didn't live like a normal person. And if I could do anything, I'm not expecting everybody to be the same. We're all different. God's given us different gifts and abilities. But you should live your life like nobody else. You're a believer. You claim to have the Godhead bodily inside of you, right? What Christ had inside of him, you get the Godhead bodily living inside of you. The very God that told us in Matthew 28 that, "I'll tell you what, if you receive me, I'll put my Holy Spirit inside of you. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, you can go into all the world and you can preach. You can conquer the entire planet, go into the most dangerous places of the world, because all power on planet Earth lives inside of you." Billy Sunday said it best once when he was talking about prayer. And he just said, you know, prayer, people don't realize it, is the greatest source of strength known to mankind. Because, you know why? Because you have a direct line to God the Father. You're his child. If you've met Jesus Christ, you have access to the creator of the universe. I've told this story before, a guy that was feared amongst many in our Bible school. He was a kind of a barking loud guy, but knew the Bible, all that type of thing. And like, you were late to class, they locked the door on you. You know, it was just that type of, you know, militant type of thing. And this guy, but you'd be right in the middle of class. And I remember back when pagers were big, he'd be in the middle of class and all of a sudden he'd stop. You could tell something was wrong, and he'd grab his page. He's like, "I'll be right back." And he'd leave. We're like, "What in God's name?" Well, what it was is he had a pager that only his wife and his daughters had access to. And I liked this guy. I liked how radical he was. I was very much drawn to him. And I also liked it. I was like, my gosh, his kids have access to him. He'd be in the middle of the greatest point ever, and preaching to a bunch of people that are going to be preachers and missionaries. And when his daughter called, man, he left and answered that call. I want you to know we have that kind of access to God the Father. He's got a pager on his side, and you got the number. You can call on him anytime. What a great source of power. This Benaiah, you know, he was the son of a valiant man. His dad's name means Jehovah knows. His father knew the Lord. But it says here in verse 20 that, you know, he slew two lion-like men of Moab, two guys in Moab that were obviously known for being warriors. These guys were animals, man. These guys were, they called lion-like men. You know, I think anybody that knows lions in the Bible, most of the time the lions are associated with the devil. Now, the Lord is also called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. But the first time Jesus came, John the Baptist seen him and said, "Behold the Lion of God?" No, the Lamb of God. He came as a lamb to be the blameless sacrifice for our sins. He's coming again. This is the theme of the Bible, is the second coming. Everybody says, what's the theme of the Bible? The cross of Jesus? No, it's not the theme of the Bible. The theme of the Bible is that, no, it's not. All the prophets, when they wrote about this, you know what they always pointed to? The day when Jesus Christ comes as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He comes to reign and to rule. It's the second coming that's got the precedence, right? And so lions in the Bible, outside of Jesus coming, you'll find is really associated with like the devil. You know, like, well, we know, like 1 Peter 5:8 says, the lion's walking about, the devil like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Lions are known for their roar, right? Bullies are known for their mouths, ain't they? That's why you love stories when bullies get stopped. Somebody stands up and punches them right in the face. We had a friend of the family. Her name was Tammy. And we were sitting at their house one night, and she's getting bullied by this girl in school. And I remember, you know, everybody's in there, my mom and all of them. My mom says, you need to stand up, and you need to just target right here, just right on her nose, and as hard as you can, just let her have it. Give her no warning in the middle of the class. She goes to class, and she's a junior in high school, and this girl starts yanking on her hair, jacking with her, and she's like, what in God's name? I've done nothing to you. Knock it off. And finally, she stood up, and that girl sat in her desk, and she just went, wow, and blood went, pfft. And guess what? It ended, you know? But the whole point is bullies tend to roar. Lions tend to, that's what they count on, is that roar is just, it's deafening. Like, it's scary. It's, that's what they do when they roar. A lot of times people will be like, ooh! You stop, you freeze, and you're like, oh my gosh. There's no fight in you. You run for your life. You know, lions get up to 500 pounds. Get on YouTube sometimes and look at circus accidents with animals. Look in there just sometimes. You're watching these lions jump through fiery hoops, and they're tossing them little Scooby snacks, you know, little bitty pieces of meat, you know. It's like, what in God's name? And all of a sudden, just sometimes a lion gets in, and you can just tell by the way he's roaring. Like, he is unhappy. And then so I like when he shows that he's unhappy. And there's not much they can do. And you ever watch the other trainer get over there and start beating him with a whip? And it's funny. I'm just like, not working so well, you know. And eventually the thing will get in line, and they do all kinds of tricks to put these things. You would just think, guys, do you know a lion is like, it's not even their nature to have fear in them. It's not in their nature. They're called the king of the jungle. And what's amazing is they're not the biggest one in the jungle. They're definitely not the most intelligent on the IQ scale, and yet they dominate the jungle. What animal hunts a lion? Oh, now, shrink a lion down to a cub. There's some, I get it. There's some things there that could be dangerous. But usually there's a mama close by, and people are like, I would not mess with that cub if I was you. Lions just have this reputation of like, I mean, like I said, they're known to be the king. They're known for courage. If you read in the Bible, like, they're so courageous because it's like fear is, they're kind of like wolves. Like, instinctively, there's not really no fear there. First Chronicles chapter 12, it talks about these group of people, it calls them men of war. They have the face of lions. What's that mean? They don't back down. They're not afraid. They roar. They're known for their great courage. You ever watch, you know, I've been doing this all week long. Get on YouTube and watch lions attacking things. I've seen them jump on elephants, hippos, giraffes. Man, they'll jump on those things too. You ever seen things kick? That thing's kicking away in a lion. And man, sometimes they just get them. They're known for being strong. They're called the strongest among beasts in Proverbs 30:30. And here Benaiah whips two guys and they're called lion-like men. He whipped two of them. And I got news for you. You're a pretty bad man in here if you can handle two other men. And I don't care. If I feel like, just say in my heart, I feel like I can whip Stephen. And I'm not sure I can, but I feel like I can. But how Stephen goes over to Nate and goes, hey, Nate, would you help me here? Nate says, sure. Guys, I'm in trouble. I'm not saying it can't be done. If you watch a Bruce Lee movie, just know that Hollywood does wonderful things. But if every man in this room, you put Bruce Lee in the middle and say, guys, get him. If we all aggressively go after him, guess what? He's a dead man. He's in trouble. Because, you know, in real life, that's why guerrilla warfare works really well. Because in real life, it's not like there's like, guys, there's 25 of us and one of him. And what they do in the movies, they all line up. And then Bruce Lee knocks it. Then the other one comes. You watch the movies, you're like, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. But they convince us that it does. I'm just here to tell you, two lion-like men, that's what he did. You know, it also says in this passage that he slew an Egyptian. In verse 21, the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. This Egyptian, now if I could take you to 1 Chronicles 11, I'm not going to. This ain't the whole point of the message, but this Egyptian was seven and a half feet tall. It talks about his spear like a weaver's beam. I mean, so it was a giant of a man with a spear that was bigger than most people. Benaiah took his spear from him and then stuck him to the ground with it. I mean, you can see that, like, he lives like no other. And I think he could be a good example for you and me. And I don't know what it is in your life, because we all, giants come in many different forms, right? And guys, listen to this. So do dreams. Dreams and plans. You know, we were talking this morning, me and Terry, just about, you know, the old movie Chariots of Fire. This Olympic runner. Like, this guy, you know, was like going to be in the ministry in real life. And I remember at one time his sister sat him down and says, what are you doing? You're out there running, competing in sports. And he goes, when I run, I feel God moving in me. Like, and he gave him glory. They even actually moved an Olympic event because it was on Sunday. And he says, I will not miss church. And so they moved the whole event just for him. Check out Chariots of Fire. It's a little bit of a slow movie, but it's a fantastic movie. And the music's good in it too, if you like music. But anyways, the whole point is, live like no other. And sometimes, whether it's running, and sometimes God has given you a gift, not everybody can play like drums. But if you can, you better beat those things for the glory of God. You better want to get out and make sure that people can hear. And it's really about God getting glory. Live like no other. And I'm not saying everybody has to stand up and boldly proclaim, and not everybody's going to lead thousands of people. But with what God's given you, live like no other. Live so that people can tell stories of you. That your children will even say, you know, hey, Dad, tell that story again. I want to sit with grandkids one day and tell them of the great wonders and the things that God has done in my life. And so now I will tell you this much. If you want to tell stories about before Jesus or being ornery or some things you did in school, I like telling those stories too. You know, a little crazy, and people laugh, and you can tell people, like, I can't believe you did that. And I'm like, we totally did that. Unbelievable. But not for God's glory. That's like bragging that we were just ornery, you know. We were crooks and never got caught, you know. And we tell all these stupidness, you know. I got kidnapped one time, man. I don't know. I've never really told that story much, but I thought I was going to die. It was in the projects, and this little old crazy lady. She was an old lady, and everybody was. So what we always did is, whenever we got firecrackers, we went to her door. You know, whenever you wanted to knock and run or throw trash or do something bad, we always went to her house because she was so mean. She nabbed me one day and pulled me in her house. The good news is, when you live in the projects, every home is the same. And I'm glad, because you know what I did? She tried to get me to eat now that I look back on it, I thought she was being sweet to me. She's trying to get me to eat these goodies, you know. And they were in wrappers, and they wanted homemade stuff. They were in wrappers. She was trying so hard, and I was terrified trying to get away. And she grabbed me, like, wouldn't let me go, you know. I was just freaked out a little bit. You've seen Hansel and Gretel, right? I'm like, do not eat the sweets from the mean lady. Just don't do it. And lucky I knew, you know what I did? Like all at once, I just went, I pushed her and I turned around and I went here, took her right down the hallway, and there's the back door to the apartments. I was gone, man. I went inside the house. I was like, that's great stories to tell, isn't it? I don't know what that has to do for God's glory. You know, I could probably twist it and add it to a Bible story and make something good out of it. But we need to have stories where we can tell that I was up against it and God showed up. I couldn't believe what happened. And I love telling stories like that. Guys, let's desire to, whoever tells the best story always wins, by the way. That's who always wins, even in debates. Debates ain't about facts anymore. And everybody knows when you fight today, even talking about morality and things on this planet, you know who wins. People who tell the best stories. That's who wins. It's about emotion today. If you can capture somebody's heart, I want to live like this tour. We got stories to tell. Man, when I was going into Ethiopia, you know, I remember I'm the only idiot out of the group of seven that forgot his vaccination card. I'm the only guy that forgot it. And you get in and you got to show your passport and then they want to see, and then you had to have 9 vaccinations to get in the country. I got them all and I had scars to prove it, but I didn't have my vaccination card. And everybody got through and I waited to be the last guy because I was frantically looking for it, thinking, I know I packed this thing. And I didn't. I left it at home. But, you know, the good news is I'm sitting at the counter, 6 guys are waiting on me. I'm the youngest guy in the group, you know. And so, the leader's shaking his head. It was an awful scene. There's a glass room, big glass windows in this room, and that room's called quarantine. They would put people in there, or there were lepers in there. I seen people with their eye sockets out. Like, it was a nasty room, and I thought, I am going to spend 14 days in that room and just pray to God that they'll bring me some, you know, some snacks to eat, because I don't think they give meals in that room. I didn't know what to do. And I stood there at the counter, and the guy looked at my passport, where's your vaccination card? And I said, guy, I am with these men, and I forgot it. He's like, oh, you know, and I was like, yeah. I did not know what to do, but, you know, underneath what I'm doing, on top I look smooth, like I had no fear at all. I'm like the duck in water, you know. Underneath, I'm like, God, if I need you anytime, I need you now. I don't know if I can live over there. You've called me to go here. I know you wanted me on this trip. There ain't no way it's stopping here. No way. And the guy has his fingers on my passport. I did not know what to do. And as I'm just praying my guts out, I just heard God say, go. Just go. And I did. I grabbed it. And he had it. His fingers. I had to pull it a little bit tight, I remember. Like, pulled out from his hand. I looked him in his eye and I folded it. Grabbed my stuff. I said, let's go. And the guys are all like here and they're mad at me, you know, and they're like looking at me. But what was crazy about it is like, then I passed them up. I was first in line. So I'm like, come on, you idiots, you know? And, anyways, the rest of the trip, they talked about that. What an idiot I was. But you know, I tell that story to say this, like the disciples, sometimes you can end up several journeys away and nobody brought any food. You'd think of that. Yeah, the disciples did that. They were knuckleheads. And I can honestly say I'm a knucklehead. I messed up and I forget. And that day I forgot. And God delivered me. There ain't no way I should have been in that country but God, man. I was so excited. And that's where I told last week that was the first time I was the first preacher out of the group, you know. I got it and blew that one too, but God delivered me once again. I want to live like no other. Do you want to have stories to tell? Don't you want to tell people these great stories? And not how great you are. It might be sometimes in your weakness, and you just got to humble yourself and say, yeah, I remember when I did this. I remember when this happened, and, you know, crazy. So live like no other. Now, what I want to really focus on is the end of chapter 23, the end of verse 20, I mean, where it says, he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. So 1 Chronicles 11 says that he slew a lion in a pit. In a snowy day. He slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. So a couple things I'd like to say here, because I think this is incredible. Guys, if a lion was coming after me, I would hope I'd have a weapon on me. I usually carry a little pocket knife on me. I'm not sure how well I would do. You know, he'd probably stop just to giggle at me. I don't know. But I would hope I'd fight. Like I'd run. And you know how you get to the spot where you're like, you're not going to outrun a lion? I hope I would do something aggressively that I could to maybe fight him off or to get him out of there. Because then I could tell a story about how a lion, you know, you ever see that? Get on YouTube. It's a great place to go to see lions attacking people or cougars. People jogging in trails and all of a sudden a cougar comes after a guy and he has his GoPro on. You watch those things and the guy don't know what to do. What, are you going to fight him off with your bicycle? Yeah, well, they try, you know. So the bottom line is what makes this story so amazing is it doesn't say that a lion came after him and he defeated it. It says that he went after the lion. That changes everything, doesn't it? What kind of lunatic is going lion hunting? There's two books written by Mark Batterson. Great books. One's called In a Pit with the Lion on a Snowy Day. The other one's called Chase the Lion. Great books. If you're looking for an easy read, very inspirational. I love it, man. I love the dope he gives on this whole story. It's very, very encouraging. But he went after the lion. So what this tells me is this is something that's unusual because men don't usually, you know, do that. There'll be groups of men now to go to a safari, and now they're protected and all that. But, you know, there used to be that people would want the lion head and the skin. But they'd have a whole system set up, and guys would have the proper weapons and a whole group of guys, and they could catch him and get it done. This guy here, man, it was like he was stalking a lion. When most people ignore, like, you hear the roar, most people run. Christians that grow a little bit, we ignore the roar. We're not talking about either of those things. We're talking about chasing the roar. We're not talking about sitting in your little tent, hearing a roar going, oh my gosh, I hope it don't get closer. We're talking about hearing a roar going, we know what directions he's in now. Let's go. And they chase the roar. Unbelievable to chase lions. This guy ended up killing this lion. You know, I don't know what it all means, like, and I'm careful when I talk about the devil and the enemy. I'm careful, like, because, you know, the devil's very powerful. And the Bible says this for you and me. Be careful, like, you know, even Michael the archangel didn't bring an accusation. I want to be careful, like, I want to make sure, yeah, we know our lane. But more than all that, we need to know our God. And there's times when we hear a roar and most people react totally out of fear and they turn back. You know, this was an incredible act of faith, I think. An incredible act of faith. And the reason I say that is because most people, instead of faith, it would just be, you'd be inclined to say, I'm scared. And guys, we watched it. We watched our whole world turn upside down several years ago. And it's still, people are still, I'm hearing people just saying, I ain't going there. You know, they had two shootings just last week in there. You know, it's like everybody's in fear. I don't want to mess with that. I don't go that direction because, and it's all because of fear. You want to hear something crazy? Do you know how many fears and phobias there are right now on the planet? They got a volume this big on it. It's thousands of them. Did you know they have studied and they've come to a conclusion? Every human being on this planet is born with two fears. That's it. Two. The first one's falling. There's a fear of falling. The second one is a fear of loud noises. Them's the only two fears that come at a little baby. Put a little baby that can sit up on his own, put him in his diaper right in the middle of a floor and turn a snake loose on him. No fear. Now, you got to be careful because once a kid starts getting older, like even training dogs, they'll take on your fear. What you're afraid of, they'll become that. So I'm not, don't cheat, because I know some of you will say, well, I had a kid, and we approached a dog, and he was just a little, and he started crying. Yeah, because you were freaked out. This little baby was in your arms, and he could feel you, and he knew, there's danger here, there's danger here. And he starts fearing. You know, faith, part of faith, I think, for you and me, we've got to unlearn fears. And now everybody say, well, no, I have a real fear. I have this, and I have this. I have a mental illness. I'm scared of that. I'm scared of that. I'm scared of this. I'm scared of that. No, just mark this off. You're born with two fears. And by the way, you know where I first learned that stat? From CNN News. That's right. I read an article on it, on the fears of people. And it said there's only two fears. And I started researching. I'm like, man, that freaks me out. So what's that mean? I'll tell you what it means, folks. Listen at this. May it sober us up today. Most fears are learned. Listen at this one. And most fears can be conquered. And we have faith in the living God, and we're going to live our life with fears. And some of us fear the craziest of things. And people would say, I'm not crazy because I really fear. That's the greatest excuse on the planet, isn't it? People just say that. No, I'm not crazy. It's real. Brother, it's real. And I'm like, yeah, you're real crazy. For real. Why is nobody else doing this? And don't get me wrong. I'm trying to overcome a couple fears in my life. One's my wife. I'm terrified of her. She can be mean. What about snakes? Most people are afraid of snakes. Some people are not. They can handle them. They grab them. Most kids develop a fear of snakes. And guys, I'm not lying. You can tell I have a fear of snakes because when I see one, of course I want to kill it and all that. But like, I'm hesitant to grab it. And then if I grab it, I'm like, I want to grab it right behind the head. You know why? Well, so it can't turn around and bite me. And every snake that's on our property, I know it's not poisonous. I know this. I've seen now quite a few of them. And the last one we had, I was kind of proud of myself because I was just like, a garter snake, you know, if you get one about this big and he bites you, he can draw blood. You know, they got like teeth like the gristles on a catfish, man. They can grind a little bit and make you draw blood. They're not a real fanged. They do produce venom, but it's only like if it grabs a toad, if it grabs some sort of frog. It's not really like, doesn't work on humans, you know. So I know this. See, I know the facts. But all of a sudden I see a snake and there's something in me that I'm yelling for my dog. Get Si! Get the dog! You know, we had the cat one time. The cat was just like, whatever. He ignored the thing. The last one I had, you know what I did? I was like, I just got to grab it. Don't grab it behind the head. Just grab it. Just grab it. And no joke, I pulled this board back and there it was. And I reached my hand in because it was kind of curled all up. And I went, and I grabbed it and I pulled it out. Well, now it's hanging out. And normally when a snake would bite, there's an instinct in me that wants to throw the snake. Ah, dear God, it bit me. There's no marks or blood, but it still hurt. Well, it hurt my feelings is what it hurt. And my wife came, I was like, good Lord, I got a snake. And my wife comes out and this thing was just biting me. And it would grab me. She's like, is that biting you? And I was like, yes, it is. Like, I was proud of myself because I was literally wanting to go, you know. And now I did. I gave it a little swing and hit it on the stairs, you know, just to get rid of it. But, you know, I'm just like, why are you so cowardly? And that was my one brave move with the snake. And the next time I see it, I might struggle again. I'm like, what do we do here? Why is the pastor in jail? Well, he shot a 12-gauge. He shot a snake. Right in his yard, right in the middle of the city, he shot his firearm because of a garter snake. Fears. Fears, we've got to unlearn fears. So folks, listen to me today. I don't know what's holding you back to live like no other, but would you mark the fear down? Mark it. What are you afraid of? Seriously, what are you afraid of? And some people, you're afraid to look stupid. You're just afraid. I'm afraid of what people think. Why don't we fear our God? And that's it. Now, as a baby, there's fears of falling and loud noises. And you can see it. We can make kids scream. Just do it. Walk in a room and yell at a kid, a little bitty one. And they'll cry every time. Because they're afraid of that. They don't know what is going on. And there's instinctively something in there because gravity has got the pull on them. And they're afraid of falling. And watch them as they get older, whether it's even rolling off of something, especially when they learn to start walking. And some, kind of like teaching somebody to ride a bike, you know how it is. Your kid falls down, cracks his head open, skins his knee, and then they don't want to ride the bike anymore. And they say, this is stupid, isn't it? Yeah, it's stupid that you keep falling. That's what's stupid. We got to get past this, right? And you push past it. And a faith in them being able to pedal and defy gravity without falling over has to become a little bit bigger than this fear. But now, you know what parents do? They play on the fears. Parent, if the shoe fits, just wear this. I promise you I'm not thinking of any one individual in this room. Parents are sick, man. They are so sick in the head they love when their kids fear, because your fraidy, scaredy cat child needs you, comes to you for bravery. That's how sick we are. We're okay with that fear. You can't be. You know, if we're men and women of faith, we live differently than other people. And when they come and they're afraid, and there's a monster, and you're trying to convince them there's not. You know, I'm just like, man, there's a lot of stories in the Bible I could show you that would scare the lights out of you. I got news for you. There are monsters out there. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What can people say? How can the enemy roar to scare you? You know, all through Scripture, I got a list of people that have had victory over lions. But if you put a lion in front of me right now, I know everybody would say, well, let's pray. We're going to have to start a GoFundMe page to have the funeral for Mike, because it's going to end soon. Unlearn fear. Unlearn fear. What is it? What is it that's holding you back? What is it that you've learned to fear and it's not rational? Guys, and we live in a world that if it's rational to you, if it's relative to you, if people just got to deal with it. Well, did you know the doctor even said, I've got, and then they'll like name this big old title of fear. I'm just like, man, I'd tell that doctor he's crazy. I've learned that somewhere. I have got to unlearn that behavior. It can, guys, I believe, I'm old fashioned enough that I believe in cleansing and washing of the word. I believe it. I believe that you have the Holy Spirit. Fears can be real, but they've learned. I think they can be unlearned. I think we can take God's word and renew our minds with him and change it. I think we really can. And the news is the best example. Even the Weather Channel. Watch the Weather Channel. You can't watch the Weather Channel 2 minutes. It'll take you somewhere in the world where there was a great hurricane. There's a storm. They're saying high temperature. Here's what's going to happen. They'll tell you some crazy story about the heat and what it did. So make sure everybody stays inside. And there were some people, you had projects all around your house yesterday and you wouldn't do them because, did you know there's a heat index outside? Ooh. The sun's going to get you. What are you going to do? You'll pass out in your yard. That's crazy. Now, if you're not used to outdoor work and you got to work in the middle of the sun, you're going to have to be careful on a day like yesterday. It was hot. You can't breathe real well. You got to stay hydrated. You don't even know. But it's so funny. People, you know, I like what Proverbs says. Proverbs says, you know what the sluggard does? He's like, I'm not going to harvest my crops. It's cold outside. All because, baby, it's cold outside. You're not going to harvest your crops. And the Bible says you are a sluggard. Whoo, that's a hard title. You fat, lazy slug. That's what you are. You're a sluggard. Christians do the same thing, though. Based upon fear or what we think, it's like, man, I can't do it. And you know what I tell you? You know what? Here's what I do. This is no joke. You can ask my girls this. When somebody says it can't be done, that's very much a motivation for me to be like, well, I'm doing it. What about the cold? I decided to get in shape. This was 2 years ago. I'm trying to think of the last time I was in shape. Maybe that was 20 years ago. No. But anyways, I decided to start jogging. And I remember one morning I woke up and there was a little snow on the ground and the temps was below zero. And we were praying early in the morning and I was running to the church. We're from my old house. And no, it was only a half block away, but just like, no, I'm just kidding. But it was a little over like a mile and a quarter. And I thought, man, I can't go out there because it's dangerous out there. There's snow on the ground. And you know what I did? I layered up. I have masks. I had gloves. No, I don't have like running gloves or running masks. I just have the typical that we all have, you know, when it gets bad. And man, I showed up here at the church, man. And I was like, I remember one guy goes, did you run here? I'm like, hey, dude, I'm sweating my guts out. I started pulling layers off like, and it was soaking wet. I'm like, my gosh, that was crazy. I was this close to not doing it. But everybody says you can't do it. You ever see somebody jogging like in the snow or in the winter? Don't you say, nobody's just this man, that dude, that gal is really in shape. We always say, boy, she's nutty. She must be drunk. What's she doing out there? But I'll tell you, there are some people, they'll live like no other. They can walk into a birthday party and not touch cake and ice cream. I'm like, that's disrespectful. That's just disrespectful. We're celebrating not you, but somebody else. But there's people that can do it. Guys, these are stupid examples of, for the cause of Jesus Christ, let's live like no other. When most people are talking about the fear of lions, we're on the hunt. We're after one. We're going to chase it. There's another thing about faith that I'd like to point out, because faith, Guys, faith is not safe. I mean, faith is about, like, God tells you to take a step, and a lot of us won't take a step because we don't know what the step after that is. Anybody been in that position before? Then you're not living life. Have you never been, like, hesitant to step out for God? You're like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't, God just says, no, here's the step. But all through the Bible, like, God will say, hey, here's what we're going to do. I got a land for you to go, and I want you to leave tomorrow. You know, and Abraham's like, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but God told me to step. You remember, like, in Joshua, Joshua takes the priest out, like, okay, guys, I know the Jordan River's roaring right now, but all 12 of you need to step out in this. Yeah, but we could be swept away by the current. I don't get it. What's going to happen here? They didn't need to know all those details. What they needed is have enough faith to take the first step and let God reveal the second. We somehow want God to reveal the great plan for us. And anybody that's lived enough life, if you lived as a leader, make all the plans you want. God will make sure that plan don't work that way. Why? Faith. We trust Him. It's a relationship we have with Him. And so faith is just that too. It's that first step. You know, there's a principle out there. I've given it before. I read a book and it's just called the 5-second rule. The 5-second rule is like when you sit down and you're like, I really should cut the grass tonight, but man, I've had a tough day at work. You got 5 seconds to get off the couch, or you're going to stay in all night long. You could have a productive evening and go to bed like, wow, that was good. Or you could say, I watched 2 Netflix series. And you know what we usually all choose. I'm human just like you, I feel. What that 5-second rule is, I apply it to faith, is to where God says, this is the direction I want you to move. We got to move. I don't know what the next step is. But you take that first step. And this guy here, Benaiah, lived like no other. And guys, the first step he knew he was taking was a very risky one. It's the ones that today people would say, you are foolish. You're on it. You're on it. That's when you know you're after it. Because most people say, that's a good plan. Brother, that's good thinking. Oh yeah, lady, that's the way I do it. Well, here's my plan. Beep, 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 beep. And we lay it all out and people are like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, but somehow a woman or a guy that's going to take a great step of faith and do something, people are always like, what's the plan? You're an idiot. You have no, and people, here, let me give you a list of this. You ready for this? I think it's not a faith. Listen to this. This is bold, but I think it's not a faith unless people think it is foolish. There's a guy at the beginning of the Bible that started building a boat. And it never rained before. And God said, build it. And it's going to take a long time to build it. He built the boat. Sarah's literally out buying maternity clothes, then buying baby clothes. And people are like, oh, you're a grandmother. Are you stupid? And people are going, we need to get her an assisted living and then to the nursing home. And she's packing diapers and baby clothes and having baby showers. And people are like, what in God's name? Or David. Think of this. David. Now, we know David is the mighty king, the great warrior with all these mighty. But David, literally, think about the first time you see him. Not the first time in the Bible, but the first time on the battlefield. He's watching sheep. His dad sends him to feed his brethren. He shows up and he's going to fight a giant. And you'd think he have like an AR. He shows up. He's got a slingshot. People would say, that's not very smart. It's what he had, and he knew how to use it. And he took the first step, right? Think about the Gospels. There's a group of guys, very blue-collar, hard-working, common guys, and they decide, like, hey, let's follow the star. And that's, I think, the first story in the Bible where you see guys are smoking weed, man, out there with the sheep. Whoa. Look at that star. Let's look foolish, didn't they? They were the first ones there. They were the first ones there. Isn't it beautiful? Or what about this? All the disciples in the boat, and they're like, dear Lord, we're going to die. Ah! Everybody's screaming. Jesus says, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. Look. And everybody's fearing, and Peter's like, hey, let me come out there with you. And you know what? Every disciple at that point in the story, what they did is they all looked at Peter and like, are you kidding me? You idiot. Until he walked on water. all of these stories in the Bible are incredible stories of faith, but was considered foolish by many. Let me ask you a question. To live like no other, what in your life right now, what would you say that others would consider so foolish? People would say, she is not wise. He is not very smart. That's faith. If God told you to do it. If you're clearly seeing his word, God laid out the plan and says, here, dude, this is what's next. What is it? What 500-pound lion are you after? And most people would say, I'm not after a lion. The lion's after me. You are right. You're 100% right. And it's very likely that you're going to get defeated and taken by the lion. Always living on the run, always on defense. This guy here, he kills the lion. And guys, like, it says the lion was in a pit. I don't know what that pit completely looks like. But a lot of caves and mountains would go down. You get into a hole in a pit. And I kind of envision it like that, on the side of a mountain, almost like a cave. And he hears the roars and you know he's in there. So guess what? There's no turning back. He's going in knowing this is it. This is it. It's me or him. One of us will walk out. He's risking everything, but knowing he needs to eliminate the lion. If you see the movie Ghost in the Darkness, it's a great movie, man. In India, where they were building that great bridge, and there was a couple lions that were killing many people. When they finally discovered where they were at, they went into the caves. They couldn't believe the amount of bones in there. Like, these lions had literally killed. And part of it, you find out that at the end of the story, they're old. They were just old lions. And they couldn't, like, catch the gazelles anymore. But they could catch people. And that's what they were doing, is nabbing human beings and killing them. And so everybody was terrified. People were quitting. People were leaving. Everybody was just freaked out of their minds. All they needed to do was just find one lion killer. And I think sometimes our world, I think sometimes our church is just looking for the men and women that will stand up and just say, I'll chase the roar. I won't run from it. I'll chase the roar. I'll face it. You know, Samson in the Bible, in Judges 14, victory over a lion. 1 Samuel 17, remember, he not only killed this thing, like, he ripped it to shreds, man. 1 Samuel 17, David. We find Benaiah here. Daniel, remember Daniel in the lion's den? He gets thrown into a massive amount of lions. He goes down there with no weapon at all. And the Bible says by faith in Hebrews 11, God shut the mouths of lions. Unbelievable. And we always get this picture, they're dropping Daniel down there, and Daniel's like, and after a while, he lifts up his eyes and he's like, nothing's happening here. You know, they're normally, they tear people to shreds before they hit the bottom. It's crazy to me. I don't know how that story goes down, but I picture it just a little bit differently. I picture when he goes down there with those lions. And I don't think those lions, I think those lions were on him. And everybody says they shut the mouths of lions. You ever seen the paw of a full-grown lion and the claws? They got teeth and claws. The Bible don't say anything about the claws. But I'm just thinking, I don't know how this thing all, I mean, all I know is he was living in the morning and God shut the mouths of lions. And that wasn't of his. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says that he had victory over the lion. Let me give you a few points here in this story. A few great points is it says he went down into a pit. So mark this down, is that you go down into a pit to get, he went down. I like that whole theme of like going down. Safety not an issue. It's all about risk, and yet he's going down. Every time you go down, to me, it's a picture of humility. It's a picture of humility. Like, he can increase, but for him to increase, I'm going to decrease. So he goes down into this pit. He humbled himself. By the way, if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord will what? Lift you up. If you want to exalt yourself. And let me tell you what, real ministry is really done in pits. People are in the pits all the time. And most people are afraid to go there. That's the place where we need to go. What do you fear? Go down into the pit with safety being no issue. And the Bible says, guess what? The gates of hell, they don't prevail against God's church. Why are we fearful? We're just so afraid. Live like no other. Go in the direction of risk. Boldly go forward on this thing, right? Matthew 18 or 28, 18 through 20, go. He says, go, go. You're not hearing no. Go, go, go. He told you to go, go. So not only just going down in this pit, I like that the Bible clearly says it's a time of snow. That's just a whole nother element to it. It's just like, wouldn't you rather be by a fire nestled up in your, you know, in your wool socks, you know? Instead, this guy's hunting a lion. One of the worst things about hunting a lion in the snow would be, like, you can't find the lion and you're hunting him. And you know how it is if you've been hunting before. I have been hunting in the snow before. Of course, I'm after deer. And all of a sudden, you look over and you're like, deer tracks. Now, if I was hunting deer, and in this area, you know, we're not used to seeing even bears. You're not used to seeing mountain lions much. I mean, they're here, but we don't see them necessarily a lot. Can you imagine you're hunting a deer and you're all excited? You'll see a little squirrel print. There's some rabbit prints you can tell clearly. But you imagine looking over, and there's a paw print in the ground bigger than your hand? What would you do? Most people would leave. Get out of here, you know. Or the lion's, not only is he stalking you, he's going to wait till you get your first shot down. You'll drop the deer. That'll be easy catch for him. That's what happens in Belize when they get deer. The jaguars come. They'll come right away, and they'll whip your dogs even, because they got these dogs that, you know, rally around, and it's crazy. So it says, in the time of snow. I like this because it's the principle of the heat index yesterday, right? It's the principle of snow. Most people won't do it. It's the principle of the sluggard. But you know what the Bible says about that virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:21? She's a virtuous woman, it says, and she's not afraid of the snow for her house. Yeah, because she equips them to deal with the snow. Job 38 says, there's treasures in the snow. But, you know, it just adds another element of risk. Another great part of the story where we can say, and God came through. Unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah, God came through. So just note this, that every time you see snow in the Bible, it's usually some sort of obstacle that's unbelievable. And that's why we bring our sin to Jesus, and Jesus says, though your sin will be as scarlet, it'll be white as snow. I'll miraculously turn that around in the pureness of white. Unbelievable. The same thing happened with lepers in the Bible too, by the way. They turn white as snow. So we see this here in this story. So note this. He went down into a pit. He killed the lion in the time of snow. So what a barbaric reputation he had. So I want to encourage you, church, as we are saved and not being soft, a couple things. Unlearn your fear. Unlearn it. It can be unlearned. There's a TV show, a reality show on that where you can unlearn fears. And they teach people to do this. And whatever it is, there's different scenarios they set up and eventually they face it. Guys, there's people like that are terrified of dogs, so terrified, they're terrified of puppies. We've had kids come to our house that are afraid of our dog. That's not natural. They've learned that. Where did they pick that up at? They might have just seen something on TV and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, your kid's too little to see some news program and a pit bull grabbed a dude and tore his arm up. So now they see every dog and they're like, man, every chihuahua is going to break my neck, you know, and it's unreasonable. So church, let's unlearn our fears. Let's the power of this book take over and let's take steps and just put our hands on the snake. And I got bit 4 times. No blood. I don't even have a scar. That'd have been kind of cool if I could have came in and said, yeah, I had three stitches right here because it was just a little snake. He bit pretty hard. Guys, I couldn't even brag. I'm just like, man, I've had earthworms do more damage than that. You ever go fishing with leeches? Stick your hand in the leech bucket and pull it. And you're, oh, dear God, I got 10 of them on me, you know. And you just start panicking. I'm like, oh, get off. Ooh, ooh. What are you doing? You act like that thing's going to, you know, they suck blood. Okay, if you had 100 of them overnight, you might have problems in the morning. You know, but good Lord, what's wrong with you? Yeah, that's a fear. Unlearn fear. Unlearn it. The second thing is let's make sure that we take the first step, because that's faith. So faith, we just got to take the first step in this battle, right? The next thing of faith I'd just like to point out is if somebody doesn't think it's foolish, it's probably not really faith. We think faith is just, I'm just praying and trusting in God. What are you trusting God for? Name it. What? I think you're just playing the horoscope. You're the type of guy that just is going to just say everything that's, well, that must not be God's will. We blame everything on God's will. Do you ever notice that? If you want to do something or don't want to do something, you just blame God. And then it leads you to a spot where people are like, well, I prayed about it, Pastor, but I just don't think it's God's will. Okay. I wish you'd read the book of Acts and tell me differently. No, really, I sought this out and I prayed about it. And that's what everybody does today. We got this Western independent, we're at the end of the church age. You know, the team is busted to pieces, man. And everybody does their own thing. And they just say, well, God didn't tell me. I'm in God's word. I'm just not at peace about this. It's not God's will. Wow, there's three elements to God's will and you're totally destroying one of them. You're totally destroying one of them. Don't do that. That is nothing but an excuse. If we would be like Benaiah, we would have a reputation, you and me. Your reputation would be pretty barbaric. He was named amongst the three, it says in 1 Chronicles 11. He was named, he was also named among the 30. If anybody wants to talk about Benaiah, they would always say this, he is not civilized. Rocky, remember Rocky? Rocky got successful, moved up in the world, got a little bit of money. Now he's living in a big house, not in the ghetto, all that type of stuff. And what did his trainer say to him? Rocky, the problem, dude, is you've become way too civilized. I think Christians, we've become just a little bit too safe. We've become a little bit too soft. I think we need to hear a roar and realize that's the target. We need to chase the lion, because guess what? He's after you. He's after you. And you know how it is. Turn your defense into offense. That's what you're always on the defensive. Turn that thing around. And you know, as you dream for what God wants you to do, they always say this. I heard an old preacher say this a long time ago, and I love it. He says, you can tell, really, the size of your dream is the size of your God. The size of your dream is the size of your God. And some of you are just living just so you can have a Pop-Tart in the morning. That's weak. I just want a life of no trouble. I just want to enjoy things. Just raising my family. I just want my kids to think I'm great. You sound like a wiener, man. What? No plans? No, you're nothing more than a Twinkie, man. That's so sterile and sad. I'm just trying to get by, you know? We just want to pay our bills and look good and have nice things and take great vacations. Wow, you have no stories to tell. None. In the future, none of how great God is. Your dreams and your plans for him are not big. Therefore, your God's not big. And I have a friend that's a pastor, and he told me this. He says, man, I'm just ashamed. I don't have no great stories of faith to tell. Well, you're going to have to live differently, my friend. You're going to have to live differently. And I don't know what that means for you. You know, guys, there's two different kinds of sins. You know, there's a sin of like commission, sins that, like, here's what I did. I said this, I thought this. You know, we all got things you can say, oh, yeah, that was a sin. Here's what I did. But I think the greatest sin of all could be the sin of omission. It's the things that God really wanted done, and you would never do them. You just played it safe. I just think that's one of the greatest sins on the planet. You know, you're the guy that hears the roar of the lion out in the street in Proverbs and says, dear God, there's a lion out in the streets. Everybody in your house. And the lion remains in the street, looking whom he may devour. Nobody chases the lion. This message is basically done. There's a couple Benaiahs in the Bible. There's one that's, he's different. I wanted to really preach a session on this guy, but I think we're going to go off our theme a little bit. I'm running out on time. But one thing this Benaiah does, man, King David, he served him well. He was such a great leader. He always served, and he served with a passion, man. This was the king's guy, and he had a reputation of being barbaric. I hope as a church we would always do that. Hope we have people in our midst, in our church, that's just a little bit barbaric, and somebody would say, I can't believe she goes to your church. I know. And that dude's really strange. And we always say, he's different. Loves Jesus. Willing to take great risks for the Lord. He's a barbarian. That girl is a warrior. Afraid of nothing. Has such faith in God that's willing to do the craziest of things. And you know what the Bible says? The Lord delivers people like that out of the mouth of a lion. That's what Paul said. The Lord delivered David in 1 Samuel 17. Psalms 91 says we can tread over lions because he is our Lord. He's in charge. Daniel trusted God. Hebrews 11 says by faith the mouths of lions were stopped. So hear all these words, faith, trust. Instead of just saying, I trust Jesus that he died for my sins, and because of me meeting him, I'm going to have eternal life. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, question. What are you trusting God for, like, now, this week? The first message I sat under years ago, a guy got up and asked that question. What are you trusting God for? I had nothing to say because I was chasing no lion. My life was very controlled. My quiet times were, and I struggled for years. I was like, my gosh. So I had to control my quiet times. I had to journal. I was told I needed to journal. I needed to sit in quietness and read all the chapters of the Bible. And write down one thing that God gave me so I could remember it, mainly because people were going to ask me and I could share it. I could post it on Facebook that I read the... That was kind of my motivation and how it worked. And I'm telling you, my best quiet times are the ones that never end in quiet. They end up getting pretty loud. They end up getting a little bit aggressive. It requires some change in me. And I hear the roar of a lion. It's quiet, all right. Then I hear the roaring of a lion. I'm like, that's it. That's my target. And I live my life chasing the lion. Most people say it can't be done. Most people would say you're foolish. And folks, that's when you know you're on it. That's like impossible. Not for our God, but it's impossible for us. You know what we do? We resist that. And you know what he does? Yeah, we don't have trouble. You ever read that passage in Isaiah 35 that talks about the highway of holiness? Read that passage sometime. Isaiah 35 starts around verse 9, talks about us living in the highway of holiness. And you know, there's a verse in there and it says, there's no lion there. The highway of, no lion there. There's two things going on. The elevation's so high that the lion can't be there, but that would put us in a weird spot too, wouldn't it? Like, well, then I'm not sure I could live there, right? Because you know how you get higher up on the mountains and you start seeing less and less of things living. And you go up, up and up and up, and all of a sudden, you know, mountain climbers. You never hear these mountain climbers way up and they're like, and they got attacked by, well, no. I'm telling you, the eagles, you know, struggle soaring up and in there. So what are we going to do? This highway of holiness says there's no lion there. I'll tell you why I think there's no lion there. Because I think when a man or a woman chooses to live in the highway of holiness, they chase lions and they destroy them. They end them. Even on snowy days, they'll go down into a pit and take a great risk and say, no more fear. He's dead. When everybody says, lock yourself in your house, there's a lion in the street. We're able 3 hours later to tell everybody, it's safe now. He's dead. See the difference? Let's live like no other. Let's all pray together right now. What is the 500-pound lion in your life? That's the hot question of the day. What in your life, what are people talking about going, I think she's foolish. I think he's foolish. Not very many people live in that realm, but that's the realm we got to be in. What's the dream? What is it? What does God want you to do with your life? And guys, we've seen it as a church. We've seen it here locally. We've seen it globally. We've watched guys like every time, I'm telling you, every time I talk to Matt Woods, I see pictures of him in Papua New Guinea. Every time I'm like, that dude killed a 500-pound lion, man. There ain't no way. I can't believe he's there. I can't. It blows my mind. Because I would just think it would take somebody a little tougher than him. Well, guess what? There's a God inside of him that delivers. And he just keeps taking steps. And God shows up. And it's not that people sit back and say, man, Matt Woods is a tough individual, isn't he? No, he's big. He's pretty strong physically. But not for a 500-pound lion. Let me tell you what he's got going on. He walks with the living God. That's it. It's that simple. And God shows up and delivers. Matt hears a roar and don't run from it. He's scared. I'm not saying you don't shake in your boots sometimes. Because here it goes. You know, when you go up for the task, you got the spear. He has his knife and his spear and he goes up. One guy, one person's walking out of the pit. And Benaiah said, that's going to be me. Let's live that way, folks. Come on, church. Let's get after our walk with Jesus. Dream. What's God want you to do? Let's destroy it. Why ain't we crippling this county? We should be crippling this county. We should be taking it to its knees with the gospel. Take the Bible. It still works. It blows people away. It takes the toughest of people and drops them to their knees. Let's trust God in his word. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the story of Benaiah. God, thanks for using it in my life once again. It was refreshing to read this story and just to realize that as tough as I preach, I've been soft in some areas of my life. God, forgive me for sitting back and just listening to the roar. Forgive me for sitting back and almost being timid. And God, I pray that you'd make this man a lion killer. That I would chase a lion, that like Benaiah, I would go after him no matter what the circumstances, and I would go down into that pit taking a great risk, knowing that you can deliver, knowing that you are a God that likes this. God, I pray we would live our lives a little more foolish, that people would say, that makes no sense, that logically doesn't add up. And then we can tell the world the real key behind the success. It's you. So, Lord, we love you today so much. Thanks for the music. Thanks for your word. May we leave the building today trembling. Just trembling at your goodness, at your greatness. Not at darkness, God, but at you. May the darkness tremble because of your light. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.